Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Kaya Limited Q2 FY23 results conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Inba. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited. Hope you all and your family are staying safe and healthy. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Suri, Global Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Rajeev Nair, Chief Executive Officer, Kaya Group, and Mr. Saurabh Shah, Chief Financial Officer. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remarks, and then we would have question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. I welcome you to the conference call on the company's behalf. Let me begin the conference call with a very short update on Q2 performance of Kaya Limited, which is already in the public domain and uploaded in our website, www.kaya.in. Kaya Limited posted consolidated revenue from operations of INR 93 crores for Q2 FY23, a growth of 9% over corresponding quarter. Consolidated EBITDA is INR 5 crores in Q2 FY23 as compared to INR 14.9 crores in Q2 FY22. Consolidated loss after taxes and before items for Q2 FY23 is INR 16.5 crores as compared to a loss of INR 4.5 crores in Q2 FY22. Kaya India posted a revenue from operation of INR 44.2 crores for Q2 FY23, a growth of 17% over corresponding quarter. Kaya India EBITDA is INR 5.1 crore in Q2 FY23 as compared to INR 6.7 crore in Q2 FY22. Kaya India loss after taxes and before exceptional items for the Q2 FY23 is INR 7.2 crores as compared to a loss of INR 3 crores in Q2 FY22. Collection in India at clinic grew by 20% in Q2 FY23 as compared to Q2 FY22. Collection in Middle East region declined by 1% at constant currency in Q2 FY23 as compared to Q2 FY22. Customer count for clinic business in India grew by 14%. Customer count for clinic business in Middle East declined by 2%. While Q2 FY23 saw a decline in performance in Middle East, we believe it's a short-term phenomenon due to the higher than a normal exodus of people during the vacation immediately post-COVID. India saw a launch of its first clinic post-COVID at Lucknow, and we believe we'll launch a few more clinics before the end of this financial year. From a customer experience perspective, both regions showed strong positive NPS reaching over  75 and Google reviews of clinics at over 4.5. Innovations in the quarter contributed to 6.5% of clinic collections. E-commerce showed a slowdown due to limited primary sales with our partners and growing competitive pressures with strong marketing investments from many brands on this channel. The detailed information update is already with you. I now open the session for questions. Colleagues and I will be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Ishit Sheth from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, a few questions from my end. First thing is that in terms of the decision to do away with rights issue, can you shed some light there? Because as I understand that the net debt for the quarter or the half year ended FY23 now stands at close to 70 crores, if I correct me if I'm wrong. So how do we source this expansion as well as the ongoing machine improvements that we are doing at the existing clinics?
Hi, Ishit, Saurabh here.
Hi, Saurabh.
Hi. So with regard to your rights issue question, I think we are in the process of reconsidering the process, and we would be doing it at a later stage. And if you look at the quarter H1 overall scenario, or we look at the India performance from Q4 to H2, okay, I think we are seeing a sign of improvement. In Middle East also, the things we like to stabilize. So overall business is improving. We are not draw down any further loan from director. So we would evaluate further, reconsider further, and we'll get back with the strategy. I understand your concern on the debt part. The debt currently has been from the directors has been restricted as per the March scenario. So as and when the business, based on the business performance, we'll take a call in subsequent quarter on subsequent basis. So on an ongoing basis, we do look at or we evaluate the consideration of the right issue. And
sure.
From debt perspective also, director's loan is 93.72, and we have a standard chartered loan which you are well aware that is lying in Middle East.
Got it. So your overall net debt figure of 70 crores is correct?
No, no. The overall debt from promoter is 93.72, and from Standard Chartered Bank is around 14 crores. But from cash perspective, if you look at on the September closure, India has a cash balance of around 42 crores, and Middle East around 13 crores.
Okay, so the net debt would be around 53 crores. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so at what level are we comfortable? Because the problem is that, a year has gone past, the problem is on the interest cost till the time we are at least profitable. So at what level do we pause? I mean, this is where we pause, like 93 plus 14, and, the remaining 50 crores which we have left right now, which we are unutilized, that we can fund our growth aspirations as well as clinic upgradation as well as the cash flows that we generate. Is that a correct understanding?
She's on finance cost on the loan which is outstanding from director. I think we are providing a fair valuation of interest rate. So, to great extent it's a notional scenario because we were from the director for this financial year.
Okay. Okay.
From cash flow perspective, it's not a stress on the cash outflow. Only from the accounting perspective, there will be cost which is parked into the financial statement.
No. I understand. I mean, I understand that we are making overall cash on a cash profit basis. We are kind of breaking even. That's what I understand. Especially the last few quarters. Before that, we had some cash profits, but I understand that. Okay, thanks. I'll come back in for that question. The second question is your overall mismatch for Rajiv, especially the overall mismatch on collection and billed revenue. So, for example, for last two quarters, consistently the collections have been higher than 52 crores both in India and Middle East, but somehow the revenues that we are able to do has only been 44 and 47 crores respectively for this quarter, and somewhat similar trend was there in the last quarter also. So can you explain why the collection, I mean the revenues, are lagging collection?
So if you like to explain or elaborate further, the collection which we collect is an overall package collection. So, that considers, suppose hypothetically it's the 8th session and we collect the total amount of 8th session. However, the 8th session doesn't get consumed within the same month. So, it gets consumed within the standard. So, collection point of view.
Are you able to hear properly?
Ishid, are you able to hear properly? Because we are getting some messages.
No, no, I'm able to hear correctly. Yeah, yeah, I can absolutely hear.
So, you know, the consumption will get gradually based on the consumer as and when they, the footfall is there for the sessions and the lead time when it appears for the service to get consumed. So what has happened during COVID scenario, the whole collection or deferred amount or advance from the customer had dropped, and now that whole pool is getting accumulated. And moment that accumulations to the great extent comes into, currently if you look at collection or NR2 collection is 77 in India, gradually it may go to 82%. We believe, or it's hypothetical, I can't give further guidance, but it will take at least 2 months till the time the whole ecosystem comes to a normal state.
Okay, okay, got it. And Rajiv, on you know, overall revenue growth guidance, I mean, how do you see things shaping up? Again, the question remains that, you know, post-COVID, a lot of retail and consumer-facing businesses have gone back and grown above the pre-COVID highs also. We are still struggling at about that run rate. Obviously, right now we are lower by 10-15 crores on a consolidated basis. But how do you see that shaping up both for India and maybe Rajiv Suri can explain on Middle East and on a consolidated basis also?
If you compare to pre-COVID levels and go back to 18-19 numbers, what we used to derive as collections in 197 clinics, today we are almost 95% of that with 72 clinics in India.
Correct.
You can see a significant movement, and I would not no longer call this as an immediate COVID pent-up demand, because it's been a while since COVID's gone, and there is some change in behavior that we can see that customers are actually, one is consuming sessions per visit. At the same time, the value per session or value per per transaction is actually going up substantially. So you can see a significant ATS growth, you know, over even immediately last year. So we can see almost 13% growth in terms of overall ATS, and partly also driven by certain categories where, you know, we are seeing supernormal improvements, like for example, laser hair removal as a segment, which I think during COVID people realized that instead of going for salon and doing a short-term business, where they have to consistently go and do the same service through waxing and others, I think this is a long-term, safe, efficacious type of procedure. So we do believe there is some change in consumer behavior that we can actually see. There is a little bit more affinity towards the led procedures in comparison to purely salon-based services. So I would say that, I would say initially it was purely because of pent-up demand, but now I think it's been consistent for a few months now.
Okay, and you expect that things move towards 100% plus sooner than later in the 72 clinics, or we need new clinics to go higher than the 50 crore you know, revenue mark for India?
Net revenue mark for India. Are you
so Ishit Saurabh, you're looking for information. See, what Rajiv is telling, collection is a key metrics for us currently for the future revenue. So, you know, currently the collection, what we are trending is almost 95% of the 97 clinics which were operating in financial year 20, okay, as compared to the Q2 quarter. So, you know, moment the collection, we are also launching some new clinics which are in pipeline. So gradually we believe that, you know, the numbers what we were there in 97 and 103 clinics, moment the step, the number of clinics, we may come to that level in the hypothetical scenario.
Okay, okay, got it. And for Middle East?
Yeah, Rajiv.
For Middle East, the growth versus last year has been 7%. And similar to India, what we are seeing is that the net revenue and the consumption patterns are different. But we believe that our growth in India is going to be faster than Middle East, because there is more amount of work to be done in refurbishments, etc. And the India business will be the engine in the coming one or two quarters.
Okay, okay. So you expect that because of the refurbishments that we are looking at in Middle East. So currently, how many clinics are refurbished? 6 out of 23?
6 are refurbished, but there are some we are going to budget for next financial year.
Hmm.
And then we will do 4 to 5 next financial year, and then we will start to see a better improvement because of, we have to relocate them because of locations. And you know, when a location doesn't work, then the clinic doesn't work. So there is going to be a requirement to do that, and then once we do get the funding, etc., you will see that we will accelerate that, and we will also then start on next time.
Sure, and
like we started the journey in India.
Sure, and you know, your markets of Saudi and you know, Oman, which were I think struggling in and around you know, in that COVID period, then Saudi came back very strongly. So all those markets are now doing well.
Yeah, so the if you look at the market, Saudi is more like in the golden period now with the oil price where it is. It's a good place to be, and besides the oil price and the fact that the market dynamics are very positive, there's also a big change in women empowerment that, you know, in the last couple of years, they're allowed to work, allowed to drive. The country has allowed cinemas. There were no cinemas before in the country. So it's opening up a lot, and therefore, you know, the demand there is huge in Saudi, and our business is doing extremely well in Saudi Arabia. There is a huge potential also to grow. The market itself is 2.5 times the size of the UAE market. So we have a long runway to grow in Saudi Arabia.
Sure. And right now we have 2 clinics there, right?
Three.
Okay. All right. I'll come back in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Gaurang Ved, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Even with the top class management like yourself, Kaya has seen huge shareholder value destruction over the last 5 years. Our market cap is 1/3 of where we were 5 years back. So my question is, what is our strategy or aspiration for medium to long-term growth? And number of, maybe you can throw some color, like number of clinics we want to add over our next 3 to 5 years. Do we have an aspiration to be a market leader in aesthetic derma products and product revenue growth? And can it be non-linear going forward? And specifically, like our peers like VLCC have moved way ahead during the same time. It's like it's 2.5 to 3x of our clinics. So do we plan to catch up? Thank you.
Okay, so see, if you look at our strategy for growth, there are 2 or 3 aspects. One is the financial restructuring, which is going to be done at a certain point of time in the near future, once the board will decide it, on doing the rights issue. Once that is completed, the it will look much better. All the loans will be retired. That in itself will show an improvement in our financials and should get rewarded. The second thing is, in order to grow, you grow by doing 2 things or 3 things. One is you improve your like-for-like sales growth, and as you have seen in this quarter, again last quarter, our collections growth has been quite strong in India. The second thing is in terms of growth is to open new clinics. After 7 years, we have started our journey on the new clinics. We have opened 1 clinic already. There is another one opening in the month of December. And in the future, we are we have planned and we are searching and under negotiation to open more clinics. So if we look at our like-for-like growth in India versus 19 or pre-COVID period for this year, it's at 16% against a national average of in retail of 11%. So we are moving faster than what the market is. Once we layer onto this, and let us fast forward a few months from now, and if our performance continues to outstrip the market and we layer onto this new clinics sales and collections. At that moment of time, our growth will lead to higher profitability. So I think that the journey is it needs the financial restructuring, which, as you know, the board has approved. We need to start to our growth journey by opening new clinics, which we have first, and we will open more. And therefore, we will reach a stage that, you know, of profitability. And because of our new thing, we will also continue to remain the number one derma brand in the market. In addition to this, we are doing several other things on innovation. We are also going to be investing in refurbishing existing chain, and that also will improve the customer experience. Our business with existing customers is all-time high, as is our NPS score at an all-time high. So I think that we have a clear path, and this path will take a few months, but we will progress as per our plan.
Yeah, thanks. That was quite helpful. Just to follow up on that, regarding your rights issue plan, so by when board will be ready with the strategy and the growth plan? By end of this financial year, or can you show some color?
Gaurang, currently, sorry, I would not be able to comment on or maybe able to give any guidance on this topic, but gradually we'll keep update, keep posted all shareholders and all stakeholders as soon as we get some clear indications.
Fine, fair enough. Just a couple of more questions. Can you please explain about your PF liability? By when will we have completed our extraordinary write-offs? And what is our operating cash flow generation expected for India and Middle East for FY23?
So, you know, PF liability is it's an old case, the 2011 matter, where the demand has been raised from the PF authority for substituting of wages, splitting of wages. But as per management, we have represented it to the department, and we are awaiting outcome. And still the representation what we have made, we have not been given an opportunity. Moment we get some opportunity, we get a clarity. But on a conservative basis, in quarter one, we have made some provision, which you can look in the financial statement. And with regard to operating cash flow for the next H2, I think I would expect let's wait for the overall performance of the environment based on the scenario. Currently, you know, giving a guidance would not be a correct picture, but we expect things to be better based on the Q1, the H1 scenario.
Fine. And just one last question. We have recently passed special resolution for grant of ESOP plan. So what are the key benchmarks for ESOP distribution to top management in terms of like EVA creation, revenue store addition, or product portfolio growth targets? Can you please throw some color? Thank you very much.
As in our strategy of financial restructuring, growth, opening new clinics, as well as
sorry to interrupt, this is the operator, sir. Your voice is not clearly audible now, sir. If you could move the device a little closer to you and speak.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Gaurang, is this audible to you?
Yeah, it's better, much better.
This is the device?
Yeah, this is the device.
Can you hear me now? Almost.
So there's a bit of disturbance that's coming in right now. Maybe...
I think it's somebody's phone near the...
I'll just refresh your connection, sir. Participants, we request you please...
Not right.
Is it audible now?
I think maybe the phone was... Somebody's phone was near the speaker.
Okay,
now can you see?
Better. It's a little better.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, but you'll have to repeat the last few sentences that
you... So, as regards the ESOP's plan, I was saying that... In our growth plans for the coming years, we have got many actions to be taken which require heavy investment, whether it is to do with our new clinics, refurbishment of existing clinics, investing in product, diversifying our product, and therefore the program has been designed to reward the top talent of the company along the measurements of profitability as well as how we perform in the market.
Thank you, sir, and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Sachin Bobare from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Sir, you have mentioned that in your presentation also, you have mentioned that e-com business has reported decline this time. So 9% decline, you mentioned that is because of competition. So can you elaborate it more, like in which categories we are seeing significant sort of competition, if you can name some players? And also in other channels, are we present in this modern trade and other sites, and how is the performance at that side? Plus, what is the product business contribution right now?
Yeah, hi. Okay, just to start with your first question on e-commerce, I think during COVID period, because we are a physical retailer plus we work with the e-commerce channel, we did not invest significantly in marketing during a particular period on e-commerce. And at that point in time, I think the number of derma brands and cosmetic brands which actually got added to e-commerce because the physical world was shut down has increased multifolds. And that is the reason why the amount of marketing dollars going into these kind of channels to drive up sales and searchability has gone up substantially. While we have not really gone and invested disproportionately, our belief is the fact that we still have to keep this business profitable. So we are looking for profitable growth and not just buying sales. And that's why our markdowns on the e-commerce channel, including the Amazons, Nykas and the Works, is limited. So we are keeping a strategy which says the fact that we will look at it as a growing and evolving category rather than putting in extra dollars for buying sales. Okay, so that's the basic difference. So when you ask competition, yes, there are a lot of cosmetic stroke derma brands which are opened up on the e-commerce channels over the last 2 years.
And what would be the answer? Please go ahead, sir.
No, please continue. Sorry, you were asking some follow-up.
Yeah, so I was asking about the contribution of product business.
In the clinic business, our contribution from product is about 12%. Overall, we can see a healthy growth on the category versus last year. So there is no problem as far as clinics is concerned on products. You are asking about GTMT. We did do GTMT before COVID, but during COVID period, we actually withdrew that because most our business is a little more technical in nature, our products are little, and that's why we had to invest on a large pool of contractual employees to sell products in GTMT because it cannot be just sold over the counter. And that's the reason during the COVID period we actually pulled back from that business. So our focus remains our clinics and on our e-commerce partners, plus now we have a D2C channel as well. One of the areas of development for us right now is also to get into omni-channel so that at a local level we are able to service the requirements of the customers faster. So that's the area that we are currently developing for e-commerce.
And so in product business, have we taken any price hikes because of increase in packaging cost and other things?
New NPD products, there has been an increase because of input cost. Otherwise, overall, our prices on products have not really gone up in the last 3 months' time. But we are evaluating the situation because every month as the inflation is increasing, our cost of goods sold is also going up. So we may take marginal hikes in terms of pricing going forward. But at this stage, our prices are quite stable.
So we were in the process of shifting clinics. So pre-COVID, we were continuously shifting clinics for better rentals. Whether this new clinics which we are planning, will that be, so this clinic shifting process will be including that, or new clinics will be completely new in new geographies and new areas?
There are two parts. parts. There are two parts. One is that there are certain clinics that are in the markets where they are dated in terms of, or for that matter, the market, where we may look for opportunistic relocation. So that's one thing that is there. There are some very few clinics currently which are very high rent. That's where, since the rents keep climbing year on year, we may look at movements. But largely we are looking for movements at locations the markets have shifted. But that will be progressively over the next few years. As far as the new clinics are concerned, our focus is largely on tier 2 cities. We are looking for clinics in markets where the overall rent structures are lower. And of course, we being a market, like to increase the number of cities that we are present in. So from 20 cities, we are looking for the next 20, 25 cities where we are exploring opportunities. So because I think, you know, during COVID period and with the penetration of internet, there is a lot of aspiration towards dermatological products and services in small cities. And we do believe we provide those kind of opportunities for customers. And that's why we are looking at this. If you look at the kind of cities that we've done already now, Lucknow, it's a city which is, I think, an up-and-coming, I would say, very strong city in the north. And similar type of cities southeast of India, we're planning to expand it.
And sir, the benefits which we are getting during this COVID period for lower rental costs. So we were negotiating some rental costs. So that benefit still exists, or the prices have increased, rentals have increased?
Sachin, I think that was a one-time waiver we received during the COVID scenario. But I think the rents have come to normalize scenario.
Okay. One more, sir. The new clinics which we have added, it is after a long time. So pre-COVID, if I remember correctly, we were adding 2 to 3 clinics in Middle East, and we were hopeful that we will add new geographies as well. So if we are adding some clinics in India market, are we planning for expansion in Middle East also?
Okay, Sachin, I think we would be thinking of in the subsequent financial year, but guidance perspective, I would not be able to give a date or a period when we open, but that's in the pipeline. So moment and as and when we take a decision, we'll definitely come back.
Okay, sir. Okay. Last one, sir, if I may. Just your opinion on this employee cost increase. So this time, compared to revenues, employee costs have increased significantly. So there is any one-off, or this would be a normal?
Sachin, what we are looking in a Q2 scenario is a normal cost.
Yeah.
And now it is normalized. The manning has been to a full potential.
So if you actually look at it, we are looking at significant growth in collections vis-a-vis last year. So if I just directly compare to last year, we've seen a collection increase of almost 28%. So to that increase and the larger number of the consumption sessions that we're doing in the clinics. So pre-COVID levels, we used to do about 38,000 or 39,000 sessions, live sessions in the clinic. Today, we are doing close to about 48 sessions. So there is a significant increase in the number of sessions, and that's why we need more employees in the clinics. So that's something which is there. Of course, during COVID periods, the salary structures and all were quite under tight control. And now, as the markets are opening up, we also have to pay competitive salaries to people in the front end. So that's the reason why the overall costs are going up on employment costs.
Sure, sir. So thanks. Inba, you can ask for more questions if anyone has.
Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. So there are no further questions from the participants. I now request the management team to add a few closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you for your participation, and so thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.